Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's about to begin. Temptation is coming your way. Your eyes and your ears are going to be pulling you in directions that you just don't need to go. Brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow disciples of Jesus Christ, this time of year can be a time of deepened relationship with the living God. It can be a time of deepened discipleship, but I'm telling you, it will be hard. It will be very hard. It's a lesson for you to learn, and a lesson for each one of us to teach the children and to teach grandchildren too. And if you have great-grandchildren, teach them. But before you can teach them, you need to know it for yourself. For your example not only will teach the children you influence, your example can teach your neighbor and influence your neighbor or influence a friend to ask about Jesus, especially at this time of year. What you do these next few weeks can impact your walk of faith with Jesus, perhaps a thousandfold, and it can impact the faith of another who may just meet Jesus this Christmas season coming. Your Christian faith, it is more than thinking the faith, having the right and proper understanding of what it means to be a Christian. Your Christian faith is meant to be lived in such a way that it impacts your daily life. What better time to deepen your walk with Jesus than this time of year that you will be tempted by Black Friday sales and all the other sales that are coming your way? What better time to deepen your discipleship? And perhaps this year, have the best Christmas ever. With Thanksgiving falling in the last Thursday in November, retailers are going to be much, much more aggressive with their advertising this year. There are fewer days this year between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and stores will open earlier and earlier. Kmart is setting a new and deplorable standard, 6 a.m. Thanksgiving Day morning and staying up open for 41 hours straight. Will people be lined up at Kmart for their doorbusters? Now you may ask, what does this have to do with my Christian faith? And I look at you and I ask you, do you know contentment? Do you know contentment? The kind of contentment that Paul is writing to Timothy about. Food and clothing are sufficient for life. But we live in a culture that is determined to have the latest gadgets. We just got to keep up with the Joneses. Or should we say, we got to keep up with the Kardashians. Yet, the Kardashians, that was not enough for Bruce and Kris Jenner. All they had, still not satisfied. Infidelity, separation, and now divorce is coming their way. So sad. And we don't want to go into all those Kardashian kids either. Stuff will not satisfy. Only contentment in Jesus Christ will truly satisfy your soul. I ask you, does your soul need the latest smartphone? Does your soul need the fastest 4G network to text and surf a nanosecond faster? Does your soul need what the world is shouting at you through their sales flyers, television commercials? Does your child's soul need that latest Lego, smartphone, Nerf gun, or anything else on their Christmas wish list? Your soul and the souls of children need to find contentment in Jesus Christ. If you haven't done so in your life, this season of sales is the time to seek first the kingdom of God and find your rest in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul uses the word contentment in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And in the Christian sense, it's to show that real satisfaction, our sufficiency, comes from God. It is not a passive acceptance of status quo, but a positive assurance that God has supplied all our needs, and the consequent release from unnecessary desires. Emotional desires, they drive so much of what we do. Emotional desires are not a very good guide for life. Recall those two in the garden those many years ago. Eve looked at the fruit, and an emotional desire was born in her to take it and eat it. She wanted what it purported to offer. Eve saw that it was good looking for food and pleasing to the eye. And she also considered the supposed benefit. You will be like God. She took it and gave some to her husband who was with her. They both ate. And humanity's fall shattered the creation, ripping the relationship with God eternally. They did not have contentment, even though they had the whole Garden of Eden as theirs to provide all their needs. They had a living God walking with them in the garden. The fruit of that one tree, they said, and they were told not to eat from, it did not satisfy as the desire thought it would. It rather destroyed a relationship with the living God. How often have you bought an item? You just gotta have it. And then a few weeks later, you are just as empty as before you purchased it. And yet, that credit card bill's about to come in the mail, and you still have to pay it. How often have you purchased an item with great anticipation and took it home, and again, before that bill comes in the mail, that item is gathering dust in the basement. Exercise machines usually fall in that category. Or it's broken. Or buried someplace now in a landfill. And now you're fixing your eyes on something else you just gotta have. How many times does this cycle need to repeat itself for us to understand nothing in this world will satisfy? Even if you have it your own way, disappointment will come your way and you'll say, where's the beef? Where's the value? The word of God we hear today from 1 Timothy chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 6 can be a great benefit for you, especially in these coming weeks, as the sale flyers and advertisements fill your home and tempt your eyes. I mean, today's Springfield News Sun newspaper, this much newspaper, this much advertisements. Listen carefully as I juxtapose 1 Timothy chapter 6 and Matthew 6. Listen carefully as I intertwine them and knit them together. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. People who want to get rich fall into temptation. No one can serve two masters. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You cannot serve both God and money. That's intertwining the two. God has called his people to a life marked by contentment. Contentment comes from having the right priorities, godliness, not gain. The right perspective, eternal, not temporal. C.S. Lewis can help us get our priorities right too. There's a long, extensive reading in your bulletin today about C.S. Lewis. Please take your bulletin home and read through that. He can help us set our priorities because he both preached and practiced with a deep conviction that he was to use his material wealth to serve the needs of others. He writes, in Mere Christianity, Christ says, "Give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you." Lewis understood this to mean that all of his life was to be surrendered to God. All of his life surrendered to God, including how he used the money and other resources that he had been given to him. He also realized the dangers of materialism. He writes in the Screwtape Letters, "Prosperity knits a man to the world. He feels that he is finding his place in it, while really it is finding a place in him." Those are excerpts from what's in your bulletin that I pulled from the C.S. Lewis Institute, with copyright permission, mind you. As the royalties rolled in for C.S. Lewis from his books, he did not upgrade his lifestyle. He intentionally set, as a matter of Christian faith, to maintain his current standard of living and give the rest away. C.S. Lewis is not alone in this Christian faith practice. Read through the biographies of many Christians throughout history. They did the same as C.S. Lewis. They set a standard of living and gave the rest away to meet the needs of others. Even as their income increased, they did not raise their standard of living nor accumulate stuff. They gave it away. While at Oxford, John Wesley changed his perspective on money. He had just finished paying for some pictures for his room when one of the chambermaids came to his door. It was a cold winter day, and he noticed that she had nothing to protect her except a very thin linen gown. He reached into his pocket to give her some money to buy a coat, but he found he had too little left. Immediately, the thought struck him that the Lord was not pleased with the way he had spent his money. As he looked at that picture on the wall, "Will thy master say, 'Well done, and good and faithful steward? Thou hast adorned thy walls with the money which might have screened this poor creature from the cold. O justice, O mercy, are not these pictures the blood of this poor maid?'" In other words, if he didn't buy those pictures, he would have had the money to buy a proper coat for this chambermaid. His life changed from that moment. He set his standard of living at his expenses of 28 pounds. The first year, his income was 30 pounds, so he gave 2 pounds away. The second year, his income doubled, living expenses 28 pounds, and he gave 32 pounds away. Year after year, this kept going, even as his income magnificently multiplied through all he did, the preaching, the hymns, the books, everything he did. He kept his living expenses the same, and gave the rest away, including the year his income was a little over 1,400 pounds. 1,400 pounds. He lived on 30 pounds, and he gave away nearly 1,400 pounds. George Mueller, missionary to the homeless children of Bristol, England, he did the same. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, he did the same. And you can go on and on and on and read about these missionaries and their biographies, and you will find they all did the same. The mark of a Christian life of discipleship is contentment and setting that standard of living and giving the rest away. Can you do the same? This lesson is very hard. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, listen carefully, this is what God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So if you have your Bible from home with you, or write it in your bulletin next to 1 Timothy chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, write Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. And intertwine Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 with 1 Timothy 6 and Matthew 6. And there's even more. You can pull in Ecclesiastes. You can pull in Proverbs. There's much more. But listen, this is from Bible.org, a lesson on 1 Timothy chapter 6, quoting it. If God is truly my master, so that I find contentment by pleasing him, it will show up in how I spend my money and how much I give to his cause. That's why I think tithing is a misleading concept. If you follow God, you don't just pay him off with 10% and then you're free to squander the rest as you like. He owns it all. You just manage it for him. An outsider ought to be able to look at your checkbook and tell who your master is. Wow, hard words, but penetrating words, I trust, too, for this comes from the Word of God. Who is your master? Money? God? Who has hold of your life? Your stuff and the bills that go with it? Or Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? As the slogan says, put Christ back into Christmas. And that doesn't start at Christmas Eve. It starts here, before the Black Friday sales and all the other enticements of the Christmas season. Focus on what your soul needs. A deepened relationship with Jesus Christ. Focus on what your children need. A deepened relationship with Jesus Christ. Focus on what your friends and neighbors need. A deepened relationship with Jesus Christ and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. One God. Be different this year. Consider the needs of the poor. Be different this year and show that you serve Jesus Christ by how you live and how you buy. Remember what Jesus said. I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the least of these, you've done for me. You can't take it with you. As the picture shows, you just can't take it with you. But you can store up treasure in heaven. You can deepen your disciple walk with Jesus. You can have your soul fed and the needs of your soul met. And remember what Jesus said, what you did for the least of these, you did for me. Amen.